Hi, and welcome to Serial Sisters, a podcast where my sister and I tell each other true crime stories. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Devonna.
And this week, Devonna has a story for me.
Okay, so recently I've been thinking about this one a lot since I lived in Ashland when it happened. So I'm going to tell you the story of the murder of David Michael Grubbs.
Okay.
So I'm surprised that it's not more well known, especially considering how safe Ashland is perceived to be.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
So I got information from Reddit, the local newspaper, the Mail Tribune, and a website called Oh How Peculiar. Peculiar?
It's a weird word. Peculiar word.
I can say it that time. So this does get a little bit gruesome, just to warn you. But
okay.
They're all gruesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's true crime. They all suck.
That's true. So to set the scene, it is November in 2011 in Ashland. Fall is typically the end of the tourist season in the area, as the Oregon Shakespeare Festival is closed for the winter. And then once the craziness of the Halloween is over in the plaza, the locals kind of claim the town again.
Mm-hmm.
So the weather turns it like a little bit chillier, but it's not really cold. And the leaves are so pretty. It's like usually like gold and red. And then there's usually a lot of people, and especially families, are generally out and about, like in the parks and walking on the bike paths and enjoying the fall weather.
Okay.
So David Michael Grubbs was 23 years old, so he was just a year older than us at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked at an independently owned grocery store called the Shop and Cart, which was located at 2268 Ashland Street. So I know you won't know any of the streets mentioned other than the ones I lived on, maybe.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try and describe everything for you the best I can so you can kind of picture it.
Okay.
So from my old apartment on Beach Street, which is where we last lived before we moved here.
Okay, yeah.
The Shopping Cart is about 1.7 miles away.
Okay.
So it's above the university and across the intersection from the Albertsons.
Okay.
So, and I can't remember if we ate at the Wild Goose Cafe when you visited me, but it's also about two blocks from that.
I don't think we did.
Okay, anyway, so it's kind of at like the north end of town.
Okay.
So on November 19th, 2011, he was walking home from work to his apartment along the central bike path near Hunter Park Tennis Courts, which are located next to Walker Elementary School, which is actually where I did my externship my freshman year at SOU.
Oh, yeah.
And there was student teaching.
The kids that, or the teacher that told you to put your phone in your locker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a sub that day.
Mm-hmm.
So, Shopping Cart to that part of the central bike path is about 1 mile and should have taken him about, like, 20 minutes to walk.
Mm-hmm.
So, the total distance he had to walk from work to his apartment was 1.6 miles.
Okay.
And, like, would have taken about 35 minutes to walk.
Yeah.
So, I wish I could say that I remember the weather, but, like, past weather reports I looked up said that it was generally in the mid-50s with a record temperature of 71.
Okay.
And it does start to get rainy, but now that I have experienced the rain here in Portland,
mm-hmm.
like, it's relatively dry in my memory now.
Yeah.
So it kind of comes into play in a little bit.
Okay.
So at 5:35 p.m., David's body was found on the bike path. The people who found him initially thought that he was asleep or passed out, but they were met with a shock when they realized that his head was almost completely cut off.
Jesus.
So, police reported that he had been deceased for less than 30 minutes when the body was discovered. Autopsy results revealed that multiple sharp force injuries to the head and neck claimed David's life.
Mm-hmm.
Police had only publicly identified the weapon as a very large, sharp, oh no, excuse me, a very sharp, possibly medium to large-sized edged weapon. The autopsy also verified that David was nearly decapitated, and that he did not appear to have any defensive wounds, and he was not robbed because his wallet and his money were still in his pockets.
What the hell?
Yeah. So there was no other evidence left at the scene of the crime that pointed to a perpetrator. And, like, the case went cold pretty much instantly.
Mm-hmm.
So, and because of that, most of the news articles you can find online are just about how there's little to go on and how this act of extreme, seemingly random violence affects the small town,
yeah.
Usually on the anniversary of around the murder.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also strange to me that no one was around at the time of the attack, whether on the bike path or at the tennis courts.
Mm-hmm.
If you want, I can actually email you a Google Map link to the crime scene.
Okay.
Like, obviously, without any of the pictures of the crime.
Yeah, please.
So, like, Ashland is a pretty outdoorsy town, and that part of the bike path is literally right next to the tennis courts.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, Tressa and Andrew actually used to go play tennis at that time, like, right at those tennis parks or tennis courts before the sun went down. So, like, there were people that would usually be out there.
Yeah.
And then it's also strange that there weren't any, like, shoe prints or marks around the area that could have given the police a clue as to who murdered him.
Hmm.
So, in an article in the Mail Tribune written in November 2016, headlined, "The Murder Still Haunts Ashland," it stated that the chief of police for the town is still in contact with David's mother and father by phone. He had also hired a retired sheriff's detective to look over a half terabyte of leads and other information that the police had collected over the year.
Mm-hmm.
And a half terabyte is roughly equivalent to 500 Encyclopedia Britannicas, the website also conveniently informed me.
That's good, because I have no idea what different sizes are.
Me either.
All I know is that the bigger is better.
Right. Mm-hmm. So at the time, the chief of police was quoted as saying that his plan is that he, meaning the sheriff's detective, will solve David's case as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Also at this time, the police were quoted as saying that the fatal blow was from a machete or a sword. And a reward of information leading to arrest conviction of the murderer has been organized, offering $22,000, but still nothing.
Now that you said the machete, I do actually remember you telling me about this when it happened. Was just
crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, the article goes over various suspects the police have looked at over the years,
mm-hmm.
but haven't charged.
Yeah.
So, the first man mentioned is Christian Oliver De Laurentiis, who pled guilty to a 4-month bank robbery spree that began in 2012 when he robbed a U.S. bank.
Mm-hmm.
And then another man was from California, and he had allegedly threatened the police with pruning shears.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and he was picked up on a warrant in Yreka, California in 2011. Mm-hmm. And Yreka's like 45 minutes away. Okay, yeah. And was questioned in David's murder, but police determined that he was not a suspect in the murder and was generally just a violent asshole.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So in 2012, police received a tip that led to a search of an irrigation pond outside of Talent, but this didn't lead to any clues.
Huh.
Almost every year since 2011, new developments have appeared and are quickly discounted, despite the intense hope of David's family and locals.
What were they hoping to find in the irrigation canals, though? Like, they already had his body.
Maybe the weapon?
Oh, okay.
Maybe they thought that had been tossed in there. That was the only thing I could think.
Okay.
So, the 100 employees of the shopping cart were also questioned, with the interrogations getting pretty intense,
mm-hmm.
getting into very personal details of their lives.
That's fun.
Yeah. So, the manager of the shopping cart was quoted as saying that the questioning became pretty invasive.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, I just was trying to think about, like, how weird it would be to have to, like, drag out all your dirty crap, like, when somebody's, I didn't do it, but.
Yeah. Well, you remember, completely unrelated, but that guy that worked at the animal center, that Allie lost her shit on him and was screaming at him, and she fired him even though she wasn't supposed to, and mm-hmm. he ended up murdering someone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not fun. Don't hire murderers. They're not good coworkers.
They're not fun.
Mm-mm.
And personal information about David is pretty hard to come by, other than where he worked. But the Mail Tribune article does mention that he played in the Ashland High School Orchestra and for the Youth Symphony of Southern Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
He played the upright bass and electric bass guitar. And every year since his death, shopping cart employees gather at the path to remember their friend and coworker.
That's cool.
Yeah. So David had been employed at the grocery store since high school, where he had started out stocking shelves.
Mm-hmm.
His manager was also quoted as saying that he doesn't believe David had any enemies and was the nicest kid that he had met in his whole life. And then there are a few underground theories that I looked at on Reddit and Web Sleuths, so I'll go over those as well as my own small, like, little contribution.
Okay.
So, the main Reddit thread I stumbled upon linked to another murder in the area in Central Point about 17 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
I went down that rabbit hole, so here is that. So on September 4th of 2008, a man named Troy Dean Carney, who was 44, was found dead in his sleeping bag near the Pilot truck stop in Central Point. The funny thing about that is that the Pilot is also where I used to get dropped off for the Greyhound.
Oh, nice.
So I would have been there in December of the same year to go home to Idaho.
Uh-huh.
So I was thinking about that, and I was like, oh, that's crazy. And so Troy worked helping truck drivers with their loads. So he, like, helped load and unload them.
Mm-hmm.
And he apparently traveled around a lot, first starting in Idaho and then staying in the Willamette Valley, then heading to Medford to stay with friends. Okay. And apparently that didn't work out. So he was last seen on video camera September 1st, 2008, which was my 19th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was found 3 days later wearing the same clothes.
Uh-huh.
And then an article further down on Web Sleuth stated that Carney had been shot at close range.
Nice. That's fun.
And that was all the information really on that. And then a number of Ashland locals appear in the comments of the Reddit entry, mostly pointing out that Ashland attracts a lot of hikers and tourists,
mm-hmm.
but that it also attracts a lot of hitchhikers and has a reputation for drawing a crowd of people turned off of the system and who want to live an alternative lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, it's impossible to know if the murder was committed by someone just passing through the area.
Yeah.
But then again, most of those passing through tend to do so in the warmer months.
Yeah.
Like, especially around the time of marijuana harvests.
Mm-hmm. Because they're following the work.
Exactly. They just travel around and have different chewing work.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing that's brought up is that a lot of people gathered in local parks to do, like, live-action role play.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, the sharp edges of weapons were always padded for protection. So it's not like... And it's not like some kids out there doing live-action roleplay murdered this kid.
LARPers are nerds.
Right.
They're not strong enough to almost cut someone's head off.
Exactly. Like, I can't imagine that that is easy to do.
Yeah.
And then, also, like, to add to that, is that it usually happened more at Garfield Park and, like, Lithia Park. So different, like, not that particular park wasn't well known for LARPing.
Yeah.
And then the police were under such pressure to solve this murder that they even looked into David's video game habits to try to find a link. And as you can imagine, no links came forward.
Yeah.
And others have speculated that his murder could have been gang-related as an initiation act. So I even saw comments suggesting that someone drove up from California, found a random stranger, killed them without anyone seeing or hearing anything, and without giving the victim a chance to defend himself, and then leave the scene, but also doesn't leave any incriminating evidence behind.
Yeah, I don't buy that one either.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like that seems like what happened.
That's a little bit of a reach.
Right, and then also, like, the pass that the attacker would have had to drive can be nasty in the fall, like California, that Siskiyou Pass.
Yeah.
And winter, and it just seemed like too much of a hassle to even drive 2 hours from, like, Reading to Ashland to commit a murder.
Mm-hmm. Why, like, not just do it there?
Exactly. Like, that just doesn't seem possible at all to me. And then the only other theory that I could think of is something that happened not long after I was working at Medford Animal Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And my manager knew a family that had been recently displaced from their homes due to financial trouble, and they were actually just sleeping on the streets of Medford.
Mm-hmm.
And she would take them food, making sure they had warm clothes and stuff like that. And that year, I remember I made a pumpkin pie for her to bring to the family for Thanksgiving. And so that was after David's murder. And then maybe like a week later, we find out that the husband had been attacked with a hatchet while he slept unprotected.
Jesus.
Like another homeless person had attacked him and like hatcheted him in like the arms and like the chest. Oh, and it was, like, really bad.
Jesus.
But he did make a full recovery.
That's good.
And, like, I tried to see if I could find any articles about that incident, but nothing came up. But I always just thought that it was the most likely connection to David's murder, like, considering it was, you know, a sharp blade each time.
Yeah.
That it was kind of around the same time. But then, like, I do go back and forth because Bedford is crazy. And so the case has just always bothered me, and I've always wished that it was solved a lot over the years, because it was my home at the time, and I was young and paranoid.
Yeah.
Because the manner of death is particularly gruesome. And then also, like, I just saw David as any one of my friends who walked around town.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, like, we all just, like, And Ashlyn was so safe. Like, you did not think, like, oh, I'm walking home at 5:30. I need to be worried.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember people being afraid to go to the parks near dusk.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, those tennis courts near Hunter Park were empty for, like, a really good while after.
Even in a big city, 5:30 is not a time you need to be worried about.
No.
Like, I can remember walking around Reno by myself at 5:30.
Exactly. And, like, maybe in, like, right after the time change, it's, like, full dark at 5:30. But not, you know, I don't know. Is it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't think it would be full dark at 5:30 then.
No. Well, that, and it's, everyone's getting off work right around then. There should be plenty of people.
Yeah, it's, like, people, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially, like, the school, you'd think there would be, like, after-school practices or something going on.
Yeah.
But, like, I just wish there wasn't so much speculation and there were more leads. And I, like, hope that someday his family will have closure and that his murder will be brought to justice.
Well, the no defensive wounds is especially weird to me.
Yeah, like, they
just, because that's, like, not a quick thing, I wouldn't think.
Or, there, I mean, like, you would think the blade would have to be so sharp.
Yeah.
To do that kind of work that quickly. Because, yeah, like, it's odd that, you know, nobody heard him shout out or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, the whole that he was found, like, 30 minutes roughly after it happened just always struck me as weird. Because it was just, like, why wasn't anyone walking there before that? Or, like, I don't know, it just seems so weird.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's really, that's the story.
That's nuts. That's crazy that there's just nothing.
Just nothing.
Not even any, like, trace DNA evidence. Nothing.
Mm-mm. No. And, like, everyone was just like, you know, maybe it's just a person that was, a, you know, transitory through the town and we'll never know.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that is possible.
Haven't there been more in other areas?
You would think, right?
Because somebody that's going to do something like that, I don't think it would happen just once or twice if it... The mm-hmm. friend that got hit with the machete, if that's the same mm-hmm. guy, then.
Yeah. And, like, the only other thing I could think of is that, like, Ashlyn sits, you know, right at I-5. So, like, it is right in that corridor of, like, Portland to San Francisco.
Yeah.
So, like, you do pass right through Ashlyn if you're, like, going on a long road trip. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Fuck, that's nuts.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Israel Keyes.
Maybe it was. What if he had a kill kit in Ashlyn?
Yeah. I'm ooh, just saying. Like, sorry. I shouldn't have brought it up.
One time he said a thing about how he was looking for a small girl, and I was like, no!
Fuck him.
I'm real scared.
Fuck him. I hate him so much.
I'm like, I'm going to put rocks in my pockets. Leave me alone. I'm going to be heavier than you think I am.
You'd have to put boulders in your pockets for it to be effective.
Wouldn't that be funny? He, like, tries to, like, grab me and then he just falls over.
It's like, oh no, she's much heavier than I thought. I give up.
Oh, shit.
I'm sure this will be fine.
Okay, I'll just leave. Yeah, I'm fine. She'll forgive me.
I'm sure she won't call the cops.
No. Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.